live from the College of Communication, Arts and Sciences at Michigan State University. It is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? Yes, it is about that time, and you are now locked into WKAR's current sports right here live on WKAR AM 870. 94.5 FM. So honored you've allowed us to be a part of your weekday afternoon. It is Wednesday, December 6th, 2017. Man, we got a lot to get to on today's current sports. A close call last night. That was a fun game to watch. I did not expect Rutgers to put up the fight that they did last night. Michigan State on the road, out in New Jersey, the Rutgers Scarlet Knights gave Tom Izzo's team everything they could handle. How in the world did they do it? We will break it down. Also, I know many of you turned off that game after it was said and done. Spartans earning a 10-point victory. But something interesting happened during the post-game media interviews. In particular, as it concerns Mr. Big Man, sophomore big man for the Spartans, Nick Ward. There was a moment that occurred during his media availability that have many people talking. And I am going to clear it all up right here on Current Sports because many of you are just totally overreacting to the moment, all right? So we'll talk Michigan State men's basketball. We will also be inviting live to the show Mr. Julian Mitchell, MSU women's basketball beat reporter for Impact Sports, and talk about a very big matchup for Susie Merchant and the MSU women's basketball team as the Spartans will take on the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. Yes, they just actually played and got beat by the UConn Huskies, the number one women's basketball program in the nation, and many would say Notre Dame is number two. Actually, Notre Dame is ranked number two and three in both polls. So we'll break down this big matchup for Susie Merchant and her Spartans as we invite Julian Mitchell to the show. Always love having Julian on. And then we will finally waste our breath on the back end of the show and talk about the Honolulu Blue. That's right, your Detroit Lions just mucking it up. As we come down to the home stretch of the NFL year, the Lions will hit the road to take on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers later on this weekend on Sunday. But they have fallen to the Ravens coming off their recent game. And we'll talk about what went wrong in that game and what are the chances now that the 500 Detroit Lions will make the playoffs. Slim pickings at this point, right? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number to call if you would like to be a part of the show. You can also join us via social media. Just simply go to facebook.com/currentsports. Shoot us a comment there right under the live stream, and I will do my best to read it right here live on our airwaves, or you can join us via Twitter. Have not gotten many tweets from you guys in recent times, but hey, tweet us. Tweet the show at WKAR_sports or tweet me at Al Martin WKAR if you're a bit shy and don't want to pick up that phone. All right? But hey, you know what's next. You know how we start this party. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. All right, and we start with the MSU men's basketball team. There was a defensive, really trench battle Wednesday at Rutgers Athletic Center, but the number three Michigan State men's basketball team was able to hold on to extend its winning streak to 7 games and improve to 2-0 in Big Ten Conference with a 62-52 dub over the Scarlet Knights. Miles Bridges led the way for Michigan State, scoring 21 points, and Jaren Jackson Jr. Tied a school record with 8 blocks. Miles Bridges scored 21, and Jaren Jackson Jr. tied the school record with 8 blocks for a freshman, too, to do that. Unbelievable. And scored all 11 of his points in the second half as Michigan State played on an opposing team's home floor for the first time this season. Rutgers was held to 25.8% shooting from the field, but still made this one close. 2 late threes from Cassius Winston helped seal the deal for the Spartans. Nick Ward posted 3 points, 5 boards in just 11 minutes. Very puzzling stuff and an interesting exchange between Izzo, Nick Ward, and reporters after that game. I'll get to those details in just a moment. Michigan State will now take the next few days off until it welcomes Southern Utah to the Breslin Center on Saturday. All right, the MSU women's basketball team will head on the road tonight as they travel to the Joyce Center in South Bend, Indiana to take on number three Notre Dame. The Irish have captured the last 2 matchups, and it will be transfer senior forward Taya Reimer, who is also a beat reporter here on Current Sports, her second time playing against her former school. 6 different Spartans have led the team in scoring through the first 7 games of the year. Brandi Agee led Michigan State with 13 points against Western Michigan on Sunday. Tonight's tip time is set for 7 p.m. As I mentioned, we will have Julian Mitchell a part of the show. Julian Mitchell is a beat reporter for the Michigan State women's basketball team from Impact Sports. He'll help us break down that matchup against Notre Dame in just a moment. All right, Michigan State softball coach Jackie Joseph has announced Benjamin Sorten. Yeah, Benjamin joining her staff Tuesday afternoon. Sorten comes to MSU after 4 seasons spent with Indiana. Sorten served as the pitching coach for the Hoosiers from 2014 to 2017 over his 4 seasons in Bloomington, Indiana. IU had 6 All-Big Ten selections and 4 NFCA All-Region selections. Sorten joined IU after serving as an assistant coach at Cole College in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, where he coached 3 All-American pitchers, 7 NCAA All-Region pitchers, and 4 Iowa Conference pitchers of the year. Michigan head football coach Jim Harbaugh, he was asked on Sunday night during the Outback Bowl teleconference for a reaction to Ohio State getting left out of the 4-team college football playoff. He used it to continue his advocacy for a more expanded field and even defended arch-rival Ohio State for being snubbed, quote-unquote snubbed, because I don't think they got snubbed, out of this year's college football playoff selection. Quote, "My reaction is that there should be more than 4 teams in the playoffs. Again, I want to reiterate, 8 teams, 12 teams, 16 teams. 16 would be ideal in the playoffs. That's a bit much if you ask me, Jim, but hey. This year, ACC champion Clemson was assigned the number 1 seed and matched up against number 4 Alabama, which finished 11-1 in the Sugar Bowl. The other semifinal, also on January 1st, pits number 2 seed Big 12 champ Oklahoma against number 3 Georgia, winner of the SEC. After dropping a close 96-93 matchup in San Antonio against the Spurs on Monday, the Detroit Pistons are looking to snap a 3-game skid as they will wrap up a 4-game road swing tonight in Milwaukee to play the Bucks. The Pistons, 14-9 on the year, come in 1.5 games ahead of the Bucks for the 4th spot in the NBA's Eastern Conference, while the Bucks are 6th in the conference. Tonight's tip time will happen at 8 p.m. The Winged Will, the Detroit Red Wings, showed the grit they needed to restore a little confidence. They built a lead on Tuesday at Little Caesars Arena, didn't lose composure when the Winnipeg Jets scored, and earned a 5-1 dub against one of the best teams in the NHL. The Wings had been on a 7-game losing streak, but looked determined from the start to distance themselves from Saturday's 10-1 embarrassment out in Montreal. Justin Albuquerque, former MSU hockey player, and Gustav Nyquist scored in the first period as the Wings won puck battles and used their speed to get in the Jets' zone. In the third period, they pushed back when the Jets pressed and got goals from Nyquist, Darren Helm, and David Booth to secure 2 points. The Wings will get back in action on Saturday as they welcome in Columbus, at 1 p.m. All right, we'll get to high school boys basketball scores later on this hour. It was an intriguing slate, as many of you know, on yesterday's Current Sports. We welcomed Steve Finnemore, head coach of the East Lansing boys basketball team, to the show as he helped us preview the Trojans matchup against DeWitt to open up the year. I'll bring you a few of those scores from last night, and also a very talented girls basketball player from East Lansing High School scored the game-winning bucket at ELHS. Very fun stuff. I saw the game-winning bucket via Brian Calloway of the Lansing State Journal. He posted that video on his Twitter feed. Remarkable stuff. So now I'll just let the cat out the bag, at least when it comes to East Lansing High School. Both the girls and the boys won last night. And Michaela Maroney had planned to be in a federal courtroom tomorrow to deliver a victim impact statement in open court in the case of Larry Nassar, the disgraced former doctor for Team USA and former team doctor for Michigan State University. Maroney says Nassar sexually abused her for 6 years. Instead, though, Maroney's testimony will come in the form of letters written by her, which have been made public, and her mother, which were obtained by ESPN to the federal judge presiding over the case. The letters provide a chilling account of the psychological toll that Nassar's alleged abuse took on the former member of the Fierce Five, the gold medal-winning women's gymnastics team from the 2012 London Olympics. The judge ruled last week that victim impact statements could not be read out loud in court. Instead, she will read them privately. Maroney was arguably the most recognizable face of that Olympic team, rising to national prominence through a series of national television appearances and a trip to the White House. And Maroney is seeking the maximum sentence for Nassar, as are many of his alleged victims. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number to call if you would like to be a part of today's Current Sports. You can also join us via social media. We have the live stream up and running. Yes, I do know that I'm upside down. I have no idea how to fix that. On our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports. You can also even tweet us at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR_sports.
So we found a way to win, and I guess that's what good teams do. They find a way to win even when they don't play good. It's a shame because Miles looked more like Miles, and Jaren Jackson has the career, ties the career block record.
Like Coach said, you know, the best teams, they find out a way. They find a way to win. You know, we played awful tonight. A lot of things could have went the other way, but we made plays and play after play that won us that game.
We just have to come in more focused and have more energy throughout the game. Communication has to be a big key for us. Rebounding and turnovers. I mean, they killed us on the offensive glass today, so we got to get better at that.
Well, you know, played a lot of that game, you know, and I think it's really, I can't say good for us, didn't feel good on the bench, but good for us that, you know, we're going to realize that we're going to have to do things differently because we're not just over-talented people. We're not Kentucky or Duke. We got good players that have to play good for us to win.
Ain't you fresh though? Ain't you fresh though? Ain't you fresh though? Ain't you fresh though?
And that is how we start this Wednesday afternoon. of WKAR's Current Sports. Thank you so much for joining us on today's show. We've got a jam-packed one. A jam-packed hour of Current Sports coming right at you. I want to start by addressing the Michigan State men's basketball team, as the Spartans were in a complete dogfight out in Piscataway, New Jersey. Rutgers. This isn't your grandfather's Rutgers team. This is a squad that is on the come up. I must say, and I had no idea just how high the ceiling was for this team until watching them last night. It was remarkable. I had no idea. This is a squad that is going to be competitive. I do believe in the Big Ten this season. A lot of good pieces. Great guard play. They play fantastic defense. They're physical. I like that Rutgers team. I was shocked. I thought it was going to be an absolute blowout, especially. And I think many of you echo that same feeling, seeing as though Michigan State, I mean, they're coming off two great wins over, you know, North Carolina and, you know, in the PK-80. You know, a Spartan team that beat Notre Dame the way it did. They cruised past Nebraska by almost like 30 points. This was supposed to be a walk in the park, right? But no, it wasn't. Rutgers had other plans, and they pushed the Spartans to the absolute brink. It was actually tied at halftime. A tie game at halftime. And when you evaluate how this game went, you know, and the voices you just heard in that introduction were that of head coach Tom Izzo, Michigan State sophomore guard Cassius Winston, and Michigan State sophomore guard slash forward sensation Miles Bridges, who led the way for Michigan State. He had a game-high 21 points, and he hit big buckets all night long. Miles Bridges just showing off that developed jump shot that was not that good last season. I mean, the dude was just pulling up with ease, having some fun every time he hit it by smirking as he would trot down the court. And it's not like Rutgers was giving it to him. I said Rutgers played great defense. There were multiple three-pointers in which Miles Bridges had a hand in his grill. But when you talk about Michigan State as a whole offensively, they really struggled all night, shooting just 38.6% from the floor. And when you look at the overall shooting for Miles Bridges, yeah, he may have led the way with 21 points and really had it stringing in stretches of that game from deep. He made just 7 of 17 shots. Josh Langford, 6 of 20. 6 of 20 for 15 points. And then you had the freshie, Jaren Jackson Jr., who got off to a slow start offensively. I mean, who didn't in that game for the Spartans, right? I did think, though, that Jaren Jackson had a very solid defensive performance overall in that game. And what amazes me about Jaren Jackson Jr. is, you know, you could have a player. You could have a player with his length and that kind of athleticism. But it sometimes takes a while for that player to mature and really understand the game at the Big Ten level, specifically when it comes to defense. What amazed me was just how technical Jaren Jackson was, how technically sound he was defensively, putting himself in the right positions to make a play on the basketball, not foul, and block numerous shots. And it's something that we talked about here on Current Sports. It's been well documented. Jaren Jackson getting into early foul trouble. I love the approach that Jaren had last night. He said, I'm not going to do too much. I'm not going to just, you know, reach in and get these idiotic fouls that will put my behind on the bench early on in this game. I'm going to read the offense and position myself to make a play on the ball. And he did that numerous times. He had a career high, 8 blocks to tie the Michigan State school record. Remarkable. Remarkable. And I talked about the slow start for Jaron Noe offensively. Heck, the entire team had a slow start to this game offensively. Jaron scored all 11 of his points in the second half to help the Spartans pull away and put the pesky Scarlet Knights to bed. But, you know, the biggest story coming out of this game centers on Nick Ward. Nick Ward, the sophomore big man for the Spartans, who was just frustrated. Frustrated about his lack of playing time in the win over Rutgers. When you look at Nick Ward's stat line, a bit uncharacteristic, I must say, especially for a player like Nick, who is a big part of what this team does on both sides of the basketball. Nick Ward played just 11 minutes last night. Just 11 minutes. Kenny Goins actually had more minutes than Nick Ward last night, playing 19. 11 minutes for Nick Ward. He was 1 for 5 from the floor. Finished with 5 boards, had 1 steal, and just, count them, 3 points. That's it. That's what Nick Ward's stat line read as the dust settled on that game out in New Jersey last night. And he was not happy. And I was very curious as to what was going on and why head coach Tom Izzo decided not to play Nick Ward last night. And I was very curious to see and read what head coach Tom Izzo had to say concerning the lack of minutes for Nick Ward. And as Izzo addressed the media, this is what he had to say concerning why he limited Ward's minutes last night. He says, quote, "Don't start a fist fight or a quarterback controversy," because he's been really good. I mean, the last 2 weeks, he's been as good as anybody. "So no, 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 no. Don't do that. Hey, he had a bad game and didn't play good." That's what Tom had to say concerning Nick Ward. I also read on social media that Izzo was trying to challenge Nick Ward. Heck, he was trying to challenge multiple players last night, saying, quote, "We challenged them at halftime. They didn't respond the way we wanted, so we didn't start them. No big deal." After halftime, Tom did not start sophomores Cassius Winston or Nick Ward, actually deciding to put in seniors Lou Rawls, Tum Tum Naren Jr., and Gavin Schilling. I put out a feeler on my social media page last night to get your thoughts on the limited minutes for Nick Ward in relation to why Tom Izzo decided to do this. And I want to read a few of those comments because I feel like a few of you are missing the point, in my view. Ben Grimes says, "Sometimes I question Coach Izzo's moves that he makes during some of the games during the season, but he knows what he is doing, so I shouldn't. But sometimes it's in the team's best interest. Not that it's always right, but in this instance, it may have been. And we as the fans may not understand, but Coach Izzo does. And that's why he is as good of a coach as he is. In Izzo, we trust." I think Ben got it, in my opinion. Tony says, "Ward has a point. That's why we've had a problem with getting big recruits. Oh, I've heard this dialogue before, Tony. This is a problem, though. But Ward also needs to play better and consistent defense. So Tony trying to play both sides of the fence here. But then Tony goes on to say this. He darn sure won't bench Miles for not attacking the rim or settling for threes. He won't lose playing time for that. Let's be fair, though. LOL. Tom says, that Notre Dame game, Ward came out killing it defensively. He also runs the floor well on the break, but if he played 30 minutes, he would foul out. And then the final comment I'll read here on the air, Brian says, well, I think the move is based off of situational matchups. And against teams like Rutgers, I think it's a good time to experiment with lineups to develop chemistry. Izzo is preparing for March. I'm not a huge fan of Izzo's coaching style, but I don't think Ward should be complaining. He chose the school, and knowing Izzo's history on his uses of big men, he shouldn't be surprised. He should have seen that coming. This is the same guy that had Zach Randolph on the bench. He has historically, purposely, limited minutes and touches to keep guys from leaving early to the NBA. I was with you for a second, Brian, but you totally lost me on that last statement, brother. Look, Tom Izzo is a Hall of Fame basketball coach. He's a Hall of Famer for a reason. I actually tweeted out last night when it was tied up at 29 all that I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall during halftime, because I know that that was a halftime tirade that drilled into each and every player on that Michigan State roster. And we all knew that Tom Izzo was going to challenge his team and call them out for how horrible they played in that first half. And I agree with you, Brian, to this extent. You know that Izzo is going to challenge you. And the question is how you're going to respond. I saw Kyle Austin, beat writer for MLive.com, tweet out that there was an exchange on the bench with Tom Izzo and Nick Ward. One in which Tom was trying to explain himself. Nick wouldn't shut up and started jarring back. Now, don't get me wrong, Izzo loves that kind of stuff. He loves a player-coach team. He loves when guys challenge him and go back at him if it has some meat behind whatever point they're trying to make. But at a certain point, you got to start listening. Nick didn't do that. Tom walked off and decided not to play him. And you talk about character. You have to have character in those moments. Because I also saw and retweeted Kyle when he pointed out the fact that there was a stretch of basketball where Michigan State was surging in the game. Somebody hits a three-pointer. I don't know who it was. It may have been Cassius Winston. And everybody, Kyle noted that everybody on the Michigan State bench got up and celebrated, except you know who, Nick Ward. You also know that there was a moment, close game, tight game. Izzo is trying to preach and let his team know, barking out orders as to what to do coming out of the timeout. You know who was outside of that huddle, not even listening? Mr. Nick Ward. And things got so bad that I read that after the game, when Nick Ward was made available to the media crowded around him, and you know they're asking about the frustration of not playing. And Nick responded by saying, quote, I mean, if you look at it, let's break it down. Can you guys name a big that killed me this year? Can you name a big that scored over 8 points this year on me? Have I fouled out of any games? After he said that, you know what happened? It was reported that Tom Izzo interjected, which is something he rarely does, especially when it comes to locker room interviews. Tom Izzo interjected and said, all right, guys, two more questions, and that's it. He's had a long day. Never heard of Izzo doing that before. My point is, in recapping all of this, first off, I think a few of you got it wrong. Izzo deciding to limit Nick Ward's minutes were not based on keeping guys from the NBA. He's not trying to keep Ward from the NBA. That's a foolish statement that has no validity to it whatsoever. And I think that in that moment, would any player be unhappy with their minutes getting limited? Yeah. So I get the frustration from Nick Ward. I totally understand it. I get you, Nick. Why are you on the bench in those moments? Especially in the tight game against a Rutgers squad, Michigan State could really use you. But how you handled the situation is what I have a problem with. This isn't new. This is what Izzo does. He's going to challenge you. How you respond, your demeanor, your mentality in that moment has to be, okay, coach, I got you. I hear you. Put me back out there. I'm going to turn it up a level. Instead, you decided to go back and forth with Izzo, which is cool. But you don't put this out in the media. And you don't become selfish in that moment when you see your teammates having success and they need an emotional uplift on the road in a hostile environment. Those fans were ruckus out in New Jersey. You don't stop cheering for your teammates. You don't, you know, cause a hissy fit on the bench and say, woe is me. That is selfish. And it comes down to character. I think Nick is going to learn from this. I really do. I really, really do. And I think he will be just fine. And again, for those that are criticizing the move from Tom Izzo, look, you know, if you got, I don't care how talented the player is. I've always been a big component of this, especially when you're dealing with college athletes. I don't care who it is. I do believe, in answer to Tony's question, do you think he would have benched Miles Bridges? Heck yeah, he would have benched Miles Bridges. Tom Izzo was consistent with this. If Miles responded the way that Nick Ward responded to Izzo challenging him last night, he would have been parked on that bench. And I truly believe that. It's about character. It's about busting your butt. And don't get all salty. You know, this is the kind of program Tom runs. He is going to call you out if he feels you are shortchanging yourself and shortchanging this team on the effort side of things. If you're hurting the team, he's going to put you on the bench. I had no problem with it whatsoever. No problem at all. And questioning the philosophy of Tom Izzo. Look, Tom Izzo, he's a Hall of Fame basketball coach. He's been to numerous Final Fours. He's got a national championship. What are we doing? We're reporting on the man. What are you doing? You're sitting on the couch watching the game. It's easy to criticize the man when you're sitting on the couch watching the game. But his track record, that speaks for itself. What do you think? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Look, and don't panic. Yeah, this is a Rutgers team that is really good. That is on an upward swing right now. They got a new coach who's doing a great job turning this program around. Steve Peekiel, he's doing a great job out there. They had a bit on about him during halftime of the game and talking about the resurgence of the program. And look, this is a team that's played 6 games in 13 days. Tom on Sunday, after the blowout win to Nebraska, got on his soapbox and said, look, man, there's no practice time here. And now we got one day to prepare for our first true road test of the season. That's tough to do. Nonetheless, Michigan State beat Rutgers. A win is a win. And they've blown out some pretty good competition during the stretch of basketball. okay? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we will chat with Julian Mitchell, MSU women's basketball beat reporter for Impact Sports. That and more. We'll be right back. WKAR's Current Sports, one of my favorite hip-hop joints there. My man D to the M to the X, DMX. My man, I can't wait until they... And we have our engineer for today. We actually have two engineers for today. As many of you know, Isaac Constance, our regular engineer for the past 4 years now. He will be leaving us a week from today, which is crazy to think about. Next week, Wednesday, and we have Ian Hawley, who will be taking over for Isaac Constance. Ian is a fantastic young man who is a student here at Michigan State University. He actually interned, and he's blowing kisses behind the glass right now. He actually interned with WKAR's news team before going to Australia for a study abroad, something that Isaac and Ian will both have in common, because Isaac will also be doing a study abroad come next semester. Shout out to Ian. Ian, did you choose the D to the M to the X roll in there? I love it, man. I love it. It's good stuff.
Yes, sir. I put that one in there special for you and Isaac, because I know you're big fans of the throwback hip hop.
Yeah. Oh, without a doubt. Without a doubt, man. And in just a moment, we're going to get to Julian Mitchell. He's just walked through our doors here at Studio S at WKAR. He's going to help us break down and preview tonight's big Michigan State women's basketball game, as the Spartans, Susie Merchant and her troops, will take on one of the best women's college basketball programs in the nation. We spent segment A, though, talking about Tom Izzo and the win over Rutgers, but more specifically, how Tom decided to deal with Nick Ward and his temper tantrum on the bench, and Izzo limiting Nick Ward's minutes last night. One more comment. I didn't get your thoughts on this, Isaac. I want to get your thoughts, but I want to read one more comment as a preview to your thoughts. James Taylor, one of our dedicated listeners, he chimes in via Facebook and says, quote, "This is what makes me mad about Izzo. Lover of the blind trust. I will keep saying it. Out in the first round, no Big Ten championship. I can't remember when they made it to the second or third round of the national tournament, but in him we trust. Not me. I'm all about results." Then he goes on to say, "What has Izzo done lately?" Wow. I tell you, some of you Spartan fans out there, I got to call you out, James. Thank you for listening, dude. We love you here at Current Sports, but that is a horrible take. That's just my thoughts on it. It's amazing how reactionary we are in the sports world. Just a few days ago, these same fans who are criticizing this move are the same fans that were raining Tom Izzo's praise coming off a 29-point victory against Nebraska. The same fans that were praising Izzo and kissing his shoes when they beat North Carolina in the PK80. The same fans that were hugging Tom Izzo after he topped Notre Dame. One game and everybody wants to criticize Izzo, and everybody thinks they're an expert as to what he's trying to do and his coaching philosophy for this team moving forward. It is ridiculous. Can we chill out for a minute? This is getting me heated, dude.
It's a good rant.
Yeah. My wig. Keep it up. On Current Sports. But this is ridiculous when I read stuff like this. Relax. Take a chill pill, okay? Gosh, I was talking with Julian before he walked in the door, and I want to get his thoughts on what we've been talking about today. And Julian hit it right on the head. Sometimes, especially when dealing with young athletes, you got to teach them a lesson. Nick Ward and that exchange and him pouting on the bench and deciding not to be a part of the huddles and not rooting for his teammates, that is ridiculous. And he deserves to sit on the bench. Mm-hmm. Nick is going to learn from this. This is a conversation that goes beyond basketball. It speaks to character, Isaac. And I think Nick is going to learn from this. I'm not trying to bash Nick Ward here on the show. Should he feel frustrated? Yes. But it's a way you go about channeling that frustration into production for your team, being a good teammate, and production on the basketball court, dude.
That's a dang good rant, and I agree with every part of it. The thing is, Tom Izzo has his faults as a coach. He does. I mean, it is fair to criticize him when it comes to certain things. Did he fare well against the 2-3 zone earlier this year? No, he did not. He was out-coached by Mike Krzyzewski, the greatest coach in college basketball history, in that game. There's no two ways about it. I don't think he's always been the best recruiter either, and that's changed recently. He's changing that. But when you criticize a coach for not deferring, not servile attitudes and behavior towards one of his players, not bowing down to Nick Ward, you are barking up the wrong tree. This is ridiculous. We are talking about a guy who's been around this team for 20-plus years as a head coach, before that being an assistant coach for 10-plus years. We are talking about another guy who, if he and Izzo went to go get a drink at a bar, wait, no, that wouldn't happen because he's not even 21 yet. I mean, this is not a case whatsoever where you can compare basketball knowledge. I'm not saying Ward's wrong even, but he is in a position where respect is earned. Izzo has earned his respect, mm-hmm. but Ward still has a ways to go in that. The idea of Izzo holding Ward back intentionally is absurd.
For the NBA, come
offensive
on, dude. That is
to Tom Izzo. I mean, when you tell him, when you hear him telling Miles Bridges, go to the NBA, mm-hmm. and Miles Bridges doesn't decide to go, he decides to stay, that tells you all you need. This is ridiculous. Like I said, it's not about whether or not Nick Ward was benched last night. It's about the reaction. 100% the reaction.
Right.
And the reaction was out of line. You have one of the greatest coaches in college basketball telling you something. You shut up. You listen. You sit on the bench. You cheer for your teammates. And you move on to the next game and play better. Plain and simple.
I agree with you, dude. The fan of 2017. You know, we need to start rolling in Janet Jackson's "What Have You Done for Me Lately?" I mean, need to start playing that chorus because I see it so often, and it's amazing how the perception shifts come next game. Even 517-355-WKAR 517-355-9527. My man Julian Mitchell has been waiting so patiently. Thank you so much, brother. How you doing, man? You good?
I'm doing great. I'm doing about as good as, you know, any college student could be doing during this time of the year.
Finals
coming up. Exactly. But
man,
I'm glad to be here.
Always good seeing your face, man. Julian Mitchell, MSU women's basketball beat reporter for Impact Sports. Julian, I want to get you on today's show because, of course, the MSU women's basketball team takes on a monumental test. I mean, they just mm-hmm. played UConn, for goodness sake, which, you know, that UConn is the face of women's college basketball. Gino Auriemma and company, they have been for quite some time. Michigan mm-hmm. State lost to UConn, and now they will take on Notre Dame, a team that's ranked number 3 and number 2, depending on what poll you're talking about. A huge test for the Spartans. I'll ask you this, Julian. If there is an advantage that Michigan State has against the Fighting Irish, what would it be?
It would be Michigan State's length. They're long, they're tall, they're versatile, and that's what can beat this Notre Dame team. See it a little bit, they played a game against UConn. They were up 12, they ended up losing that game to UConn because inside the length of Azaray Stevens for UConn just dominated them. Mm-hmm. And so length is going to be key because Notre Dame runs with a lot of guards. It's been their thing for their program for a while now, is running with their guard play. And they've done it with Skylar Diggins, and now they're doing it with Arike Ogunbowale.
Wow, look at you. Say that again? You really nailed that name. Well, you almost did. You kind of stuttered at the end. But one more time.
Arike Ogunbowale.
Boy, that was nice. That was nice, Isaac. I routinely fumble over names like that. So good stuff, Julian.
Thank you. But her and Jackie Young, their guards are so dominant, mm-hmm. and their guards are great. They're fast, but length can beat them. As long as you keep them from getting inside, deter shots at the rim, your length can beat this team.
you look at Michigan State this season so far right now, Julian. I mean, it's a squad that is 5-2. They've played well, and, you know, this is such a different year because Michigan State, in comparison to the last few years, they don't have, like, that go-to player. You know, come crunch time in close games, I mean, you know, against Western Michigan over the weekend, I mean, we saw, you know, Terry McCutcheon, you know, really kind of take that lead, right? But they don't really have that go-to player that can say, all right, tie game, give it to them, everybody get out the way. Mm-hmm. It's a different year. How have you seen, or I should say, how are you evaluating this team from a maturity standpoint when it comes to both sides of the basketball so far, just seven games in?
Well, I'm looking at who's going to step up. There's got to be a player that steps up, and Coach Merchant talked about this post-game against Western, that there's got to be a player who steps up on both sides of the basketball. Right now, they're playing, and they're just letting one player take one side, another player take the other. And like we saw against Western, AG gets 13 points. She was kind of your offensive dynamo, in a sense, on the offensive end in that game.
Right.
But on defense, Shea Colley was your leading person. And so there's got to be someone who's able to, like you said, get you that bucket, but then also go back and lock up on the other end. Someone's got to take the lead. I look towards Taya Reimer. She's got to pick that up. This is going to be her game against Notre Dame, coming back, kind of a reunion kind of game for her, revenge game. And so she's got to step up. This has got to be her team, and she's got to lead it vocally, communicating, and then on both sides of the floor.
Yeah, that's where I was going next. Taya Reimer, who is a current sports beat reporter here on the show. She's done a great job all semester. We haven't seen her in a while because she's very busy right now, as you can imagine. But, you know, her return to, you know, Indiana to take on her former team in the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. I can only imagine what the emotions are going to be like for her in this game. And, you know, this isn't the game that had Taya in mind when they scheduled it, because actually when they scheduled this matchup, Taya wasn't a part of the program just yet. Mm-hmm. But her going back and playing the Fighting Irish, have you had any conversations with her concerning the emotions of tonight's matchup?
I haven't had any yet, but we're going to have a lot after the game. I definitely think that's something. Going into it, we talked a little bit last year and about her coming and how she'd feel against Notre Dame, and she talked about what she learned there. And so she has a lot of emotions and feelings towards the school. She learned a lot while she was there, and that's been key for her coming here and being a leader and stepping up on the team. And so it's going to be a huge game, especially when she's going back to Indiana. That's the big thing. And she's going to be in front of that home crowd, in front of those fans that cheered for her while she was there, and now she's having to go and try and win a game against them.
Yeah, we're going to have her on Current Sports tomorrow, so I'll be picking her brain about tonight's matchup on tomorrow's Current Sports. Definitely tune in for that. So, Julian, you know, you look at what happened against UConn, mm-hmm. one of the nation's elite. What did you like from the Spartans in that matchup that can kind of give us a preview of what's to possibly come tonight, and what must Michigan State do in order to win this game or have a chance at winning this game?
So looking at that UConn game, I really love that Sydney Cooks came out and she played pretty well, 11 points, 8 rebounds, and that's sort of what you want to see from your freshman going out there and giving you buckets against the best team in the country. And so seeing that from her was great. Also, in that game, Michigan State managed their turnovers well. I think it was about 14 points even between both teams on points off turnovers. And that's a big thing. When you're playing a UConn team, if you're able to take hold of that ball, take care of it, that'll keep you in the game. And so those are two big things from that game I saw from them. And then overall, just playing against UConn, there's definitely their length is something that's going to be big. Playing in the paint, Azaree Stevens, she is dominant, so against UConn is that. And then
right.
We get your second part of the question again.
No, that was you nailed it right there. I mean, you know, looking at that game, I mean, you know, what can you take away that mm-hmm. will, you know, bode as a positive sign for Michigan
Definitely,
State
yeah,
playing another one
too.
Of the nation's elite. Mm-hmm. So, and you know, also, I think Michigan State is deeper than Notre Dame. I've heard
you.
That a lot when previewing this matchup this morning. I mean, if you look at the last game, you know, you had six different Spartans. Well, let's look at this team this season, I should say, Julian. Six different Spartans have led the team in scoring through the first seven games of the year. Brandi Agee, Sydney Cooks, Madrika Cook, Taya Reimer, Kennedy Johnson, and then you have Taryn McCutcheon. All six of those players have led Michigan State in points in at least one game this year. And then you had Reimer's 20 points against Oakland. That's the top individual performance this season. What does that say about this team? And is it kind of a catch-22, though, Julian? Would you like to see a consistent number one
yes.
scorer for this team? Or mm-hmm. do you like it being spread out and never knowing who's going to bite you every time the ball is tipped.
Well, you said it's a catch 22. It's great to see all these individual players play well in different games, and that just adds to your depth. That shows, hey, we can have somebody who's going to give you 20, but we got somebody coming off the bench who can give you 10 real quick. And it's just having that is great for a team, but at the end of the day, you got to have somebody who, when the shot clock's down, you're down 2 points, buzzer's getting ready to sound, who's going to take that shot for you? And right now, this team just does not have that person. And the only way you're going to win games against Notre Dame or UConn is if someone's going to go out and get you 20 that night. Or say, you know what? Nobody's stopping me. I'm going off for 35. Everybody hop on my back. We're taking this win. And right now, there's no one to do that. And that's the reason why this team is losing some of their upper echelon games.
Who would you say is the X factor for this team? A player you look at and say, okay, if this player gets it going, Michigan State, sky's the limit.
I kind of have two players in mind. Mostly, it's Ontae Reimer. I definitely think this is a team that has a lot of shooters around the perimeter, and if they get the game going for Reimer inside and work inside out, that can help this team a lot more, especially with their length down low and Reimer's skill and her footwork and her ability in the post.
Right.
If they're able to get her great position, have teams double it, and then she kicks it out, it's going to set up a whole lot of things for this team. And then Taryn McCutchen will be my second player. I think when she's aggressive and she's driving, she's forcing things on the defense, it opens up a whole lot for this team. It opens up her for passing lanes and areas to go inside and dish it down low to Cooks or Reimer. It opens up this team so much more. So those are two players that I want to see step up, and they've got to if this team's going to be up there as we get closer to the end of the year.
Certainly. Do we have an injury update when it comes to Taya? I know she's been dealing with that hamstring injury a little bit, right?
Yeah. She kept her out for a couple of games, but she looked fine. Yeah,
okay.
She looked fine against Western, so I believe she will play against Notre Dame.
All right, and you know what, Julian? It seems as though Susie has adopted the Tom Izzo mentality. I mean, you look at taking on the best, right? It's the first, in the first eight games of the season, the Spartans will have to take on both the number one and number two teams in the country in Notre Dame tonight, and they have already played UConn, of course. MSU has already faced UConn, and, I'm looking at this matchup, and I'm looking at, you know, Susie deciding to roll with this schedule, and I love it. Because I think that you can, if you want to be among the nation's elite, which, you know, that's always been Susie's goal, right? When you play games like this against stout competition this early in the season, you can see and use it as an accurate litmus test to see just how far you are from that elite level. Susie has to be embracing this, right?
Exactly. She loves it for this team, especially with the youth, and then also just how they're still figuring out where they are. You keep playing these big teams, these big names, and assumably if they keep beating you, this is where you kind of rile your players up. This is where you're like, all right, you don't want to lose to a UConn again? Well, someone step up. Someone say, we're not going to lose. And I think that's what she's trying to get out of her players is that, you know, you're sick and tired of taking L's. Somebody get up and get us a W. And also, like you said, it is showing you where you are, showing you how far we need to go. Who do we need? What other pieces do we need? How can I change my offense? How can I change my defense? How can these players move around as you play these upper echelon teams with great talent and also great coaching?
So, Julian, what do you say? Close game tonight or double-digit win for who?
It's tough. I'm going to go with a double-digit win for Notre Dame. I think as of right now, it's still early for this Michigan State team. I still think they have a lot of kinks to work out in their game, and I just don't know if they're ready yet. And right. Notre Dame is hungry. They lost a game. I watched the second half of the game against UConn. They should have won that game.
Right.
They're up 12, and then next thing you know, UConn says, hello, we're here, and they win the game. And so Notre Dame's going to come in hungry. It's in their stadium, in their gym, and they're not going to take an L.
All right. Julia Mitchell, MSU women's basketball beat reporter for Impact Sports. Will you guys have something up tonight?
Yeah, we'll have something up, and we'll have something up postgame.
All right. Love that. Julian, thank you so much for coming and joining us here in Studio S. Really appreciate it.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
All right. Let's hit our brief final break. When we come back, we will briefly touch on the Honolulu Blue, your Detroit Lions. We'll be right back. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Just wrapped up a chat with the one, the only, Julian Mitchell,
who is a MSU women's basketball beat reporter for Impact Sports. Gosh, this, I feel like this has been happening the last 2 days now, Isaac, where I've wanted to go on my tangent about the sorry, sad Detroit Lions. Well, you know, we've run out of time the last two shows in doing that. But you look at the Lions, and I just as a prelude, I promise you, current sports listeners, I will lead tomorrow's show. Our ratings may go down with me saying this, but I will lead tomorrow's show by talking about the Detroit Lions, okay? It won't be long. I won't go on this elaborate rant. I'll just talk about, you know, the playoffs, what's gone wrong for this team, and also the job security of, yes, Mr. Jim Caldwell. With a minute left, though, Isaac, just to get your brief take on this, do you think the Lions make the playoffs?
No, I don't see how they can make the playoffs, honestly, because you've got to be 10-6 to get a wild card this year in the NFC, and the Lions are a weak 10-6 at best, meaning that they've lost to their rivals and fellow playoff contenders, making them in the losing column when it comes to the tiebreaker. I can't see it, but even if they don't, Caldwell should stay.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Bold take. I'll expand tomorrow.
Wow. I didn't expect you to say that. You see, my facial expression just changed. Okay, we'll have a spirited debate about that on tomorrow's Current Sports. All right. In the meantime, much thanks to Julian Mitchell for coming on today's Current Sports. Much thanks to you, the listener, all those who chimed in via social media. We may not agree, but hey, we still love you nonetheless. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you tomorrow, same time, same place. Be easy, people.